Welcome to the Child Care Business Podcast, brought to you by ProCare Solutions. This podcast is all about giving child care, preschool, daycare, after school, and other early education professionals a fun and upbeat way to learn about strategies and inspiration you can use to thrive. You'll hear from a variety of childcare thought leaders, including educators, owners, and industry experts on ways to innovate to meet the needs of the children you serve. From practical tips for managing operations to uplifting stories of transformation and triumph, this podcast will be chock full of insights you can use to fully realize the potential of your childcare business. Let's jump in.
Welcome again, everyone, to the Child Care Business Podcast. Again, my name is Ryan Gwaltney, and really excited. I say this every single time, but we're really excited about today's show because we are in the process of celebrating the 30th anniversary of ProCare Software. And, you know, that's a really big milestone for us here at the company. And we thought it would be absolutely appropriate to, talk about ProCare's history and actually be able to tell the story a bit to our customers and to the industry. And we certainly felt that there was no better way to do that than to have the man himself, Jeff Blum, the founder of ProCare Software, join us today and tell some of that story. So really excited to have Jeff here. And we've also invited Carol Levins. Carol is a former childcare owner in the Las Vegas area, was one of the original ProCare customers that used platforms going all the way back, for those who remember this terminology, DOS version of software. And we wanted both of them to be here with us so we could tell some of the story of ProCare and give everyone a sense of how the company started. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. People aren't going to see the video portion of this, Jeff, but it's been a couple of years since we've seen each other. So it's fun to see you in the flesh, so to speak. So start us here, Jeff. Just to give everybody a little context too, 1992 was the birth of ProCare Software. And just to, you know, roll the clock back a little bit for everybody, I did a little research on this. 1992, number one hit song in the country at that time was Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, just to give, you know, a little nostalgia. The number one movie in December of 1992 was Home Alone 2. So Macaulay Culkin fans will remember going back to that. And then, Jeff, this one will be a little painful for you. I looked up the Oregon State Beavers football team. 1992, I think their record was 0-1-7, just to bring that back a little bit. So there you go.
Probably one more tie than they had the whole 4 years I was going to school there.
Yeah, exactly. And the final game, the Civil War that year, it was a real, you know, barnstormer. It was Oregon 7, Oregon State 0. So those were kind of like the classic years. What, Jeff, talk about, but even before talking about ProCare a little bit, you grew up in Southern Oregon, if I'm not mistaken, and ended up in Corvallis at Oregon State. What did you study at Oregon State? And maybe going back to that, did you have like a vision at that point as a young man of what you wanted to be when you grew up, what you were studying?
Of course not. I went to Oregon State, graduated in 79, and I'm a practicing chemical engineer. And that's what made me a childcare expert.
By being a chemical engineer.
Exactly. So I was a chemical engineer. I worked for DuPont and Monsanto and another company called Nalco. And I did chemical engineering for a pretty good while.
Yeah, you actually, I didn't realize it was that many years between, so graduating from Oregon State, and somehow that path led you, if I'm not mistaken, down to Texas, correct? So somewhere along that career path.
So with the company I was working for, I got promoted and got moved to Houston, and a young boy figured we'd take advantage of that. Had no kids at the time, but my wife was pregnant at the time. We ended up having Kevin in Houston. He was our firstborn, oldest. And it's really Kevin's fault because it's only after Kevin came on the scene as a young toddler, as a two-year-old, did I even understand what child care and child care centers were doing. And so if you want the backstory,
please.
It was with Steve and Mary McInnes in Houston, Texas. The name of their school is Grandma's House. And we were a customer. And I still remember walking in one day and seeing Steve and Mary huddled over a Commodore computer with VisiCalc. And they were saying, there's got to be a way to computerize this thing. And I had bought a PC, an IBM PC. It came with two floppy drives.
Whoa. Was that your first computer? So this was like early 90s.
This was 83.
Okay.
First computer, paid $4,600 for an IBM computer with two floppy drives. Didn't have a hard drive. And it was a color monitor. I mean, I paid a fortune for that color monitor back then. But that was my first computer. And with that computer, as a hobby, I taught myself how to program on it. And that's what I did programming in college, but it wasn't on a PC. It was on a mainframe. So I taught myself how to program and I got better at it. But with any kind of programming, you need a project to do in order to do it so you can teach yourself stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because you were just kind of hammering away on the computer because you had an interest, but you didn't have a project. So when you saw the owners
of... I wrote a blackjack program that taught you how to count cards. I wrote a personality profile system. I remember taking one of those tests, you know, where you answer all these questions and then it tells you what your personality is like.
Yeah.
Well, I had the booklet on that. And so I went ahead and just used that booklet and put all the questions in and all the possible responses and made it on the computer. It wasn't because I was all that interested in it, but it gave me a project.
Sure.
And that taught me how to manipulate and use the computer to do things.
And problem solve and figure out when something wasn't working, where do I go in and adjust that?
Well, like the blackjack program, how do you shuffle a deck of cards randomly so you get a different result every single time? That's just the puzzle. And that's what I enjoyed solving. So Steve and Mary are sitting over this VisiCalc trying to make it work. And I said, you know, I could probably write you a program, but I'm going to have to use a PC. I'm not going to do it on a Commodore. And they said, well, that'd be great. I'm thinking, hey, I might be able to get a couple months of childcare out of this. You know, we'll barter. Childcare people love to barter. And so that's how it started. So I wrote a program for them. I'm still a chemical engineer. I'm going to work every day. I'm doing this in the evenings and weekends. And I write the program and I take it to them and they go, wow, this is really pretty good. You know, this is good. You ought to see if you can't sell this. And I'm thinking, sell this? I never even dawned to me about selling this to other people. But as it happens, there in childcare in Houston, Texas, they have more than 700 childcare centers in the city. I mean, had I started this business in Oregon, I think there's that many childcare centers in the state.
In the state of Oregon. Yeah. Houston has a big, so do you remember like in the initial program, I know it iterated and evolved from there, but do you remember what the initial focus was for them? Was it managing enrollment files and like tuition?
No, it was accounting. It was
okay.
And they build weekly and collected tuition weekly. And so I made basically like a little spreadsheet, if you will, for each account had their own little spreadsheet, but the sheet was only 52 weeks long, and you know it had tuition and other charges and payments, and you know it couldn't handle more than one payment per week, it couldn't handle more than one charge per week, it you know it was really limited. And what I recognized after Mary and Steve started using the program and they liked it because it matched their business, then I started selling it to other people.
How did you do that? Like, that's what I was going to ask you. Did they tell their friends about it?
No, they did, but really childcare in Houston There's, you know, the Houston Area Child Care Association. There's all sorts of different organizations. And I went and did lunches and had booths and, you know, showed people how the program worked. The interesting thing was I made a mistake. And I know that's hard to believe. I thought that all businesses, all childcare businesses ran their business the same way that Steve and Mary did. Mm. And the realization pretty quickly was it's not done the same at all. There are different people, different states, different organizations. They do things differently. They do their accounting differently. Their needs are different. And so that became the biggest challenge in developing software. So you talked about different iterations. You know, that first program was followed by a second program, was followed by a third program. I ended up writing a child care management system, what was it, 7 times?
Over, just because you realize like everything's a little different. So yeah. I got a question for you, Jeff. Were you at that stage of your career, because you had a young child, did you have any visions of being an entrepreneur? Was that something that was wired in you? Like, were your parents entrepreneurs? And then maybe my follow-up question to that is, do you remember a moment in that path where you realized this actually can be my thing?
Oh, of course. Thomas Mays was an owner at a child care center in Houston, and he was the second guy to buy the software.
Okay.
And I remember going over there on a Saturday and helping him install the program onto an Apple, no, onto a Tandy, a Radio Shack computer. Okay. And he paid me $595. And I took that check home with me that afternoon. You know, so for an afternoon of work, I made $595. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. You know, it doesn't take long for you to start doing the math in your head. Well, if I could do this every day.
was it the money, like looking at like, oh, hey, the economic side, or was it that it was something that you built and the satisfaction of like, that's different than being an employee. I actually built this, created something, and somebody saw value in it. Do you remember your thinking around it?
It's the puzzle. Yeah. Solve the puzzle. And you know, how do you solve the puzzle? How do you make a program that is easy to use? Because let's face it, the people who are using software for child care center are not engineers. They're even limited on how much they even like using the computer. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to have a program that's easy to understand, easy to use, but at the same time has enough complexity to it to handle all the different needs that different businesses throw at you, because you want to be able to say, yes, I can do that.
And it was a constant for you, the puzzle of constantly solving these things. Now, really quick, like fast forwarding a little bit to that, you know, the actual time where you're like, okay, now I've kind of built this software. I've worked with some local centers. You know, we fast forward a few years where we officially now form ProCare. It's 1992 at this point. I want to pull Carol in really quick, Carol, just to get a sense from your perspective as a provider in the space in 1992. I know the other day you mentioned to me, you remember going to like, you know, the big electronics convention in Las Vegas and hearing about the World Wide Web for the first time. But at that point, you were running everything manually. Were you aware of software and the potential of it?
Well, before I met Jeff, we had a DOS-based program. That was my first introduction to using computers to manage my business. And the reason why we decided that was necessary, I think at that point I had 5 or 6 centers, and these were large centers, over 200 children each. And literally, it was so time consuming to do everything by hand. And for what I wanted, and I couldn't do it myself. So each school had a director, and I became the area supervisor, and I saw that these directors were not able to supervise the program properly because they're spending time doing accounting. And I felt strongly that they needed to be aware of it, but they didn't need to sit down at their desk for hours and hours and write out ledger cards and write out postings of checks or however people paid. And so the DOS program was cumbersome and people had to memorize codes and how to use it. And when I met Jeff, he used a term which he was talking about a little bit earlier in this conversation, but he didn't, it didn't strike me until I realized it. It became user-friendly. Now, everybody uses the words user-friendly in software now, but that's what hooked me. My directors couldn't do the DOS-based program. They didn't want to. They didn't want to learn it. And it was good that it was going away because I'm not sure that the masses could have, in any industry, could have continued with something so cumbersome. So when I did meet Jeff, I guess it was the second time at a conference, and he shows me these little icons that you just click on and it takes you where you want to go. And it is indeed easy to learn. Well, that was really what sold me, in that I could teach it to my directors and it would do all the things that I wanted to do. They could use it. They could save time. They could do what they're supposed to do, which is the quality assurance of the program, the safety of the children.
Did you, at that time, like in the industry, Jeff, this is a question for you too. Maybe I'll start with you, Jeff. Did you, like, so 92, or this actually, I think, ended up being, we're looking at notes earlier, Carol, it was maybe around 95 that you actually saw right. That first version for you of ProCare. Jeff, at that time for you, did you still kind of envision or view ProCare as a small business? What was the size of your team at that point, 95-ish? And maybe a follow-up I have to that is, do you remember, was there a point for you where you realized this actually can be a lot bigger than I thought it could? Did that ever dawn on you, or was it just organic over the years and became what it was?
You know, I never worried about making money. We talked a little bit about that earlier. Yeah, mm-hmm. I never worried about making money. I always just figured, let's solve the puzzle. But ProCare always had growth. We were growing by 30, 35% every year, year after year after year after year, which is, you know, pretty good growth. Back in 95, yeah, it was just a few of us. But as we grew, it had more schools using our software. We would learn more about what the industry needed. You know, what Carol needed with I think, wasn't it 11 or 12 schools that you had at the top?
I think it was up to 14 schools, okay. But yeah, between 12 and 14.
You know, what someone needs with 14 schools compared to what a mom and pop operation needs with one school, compared to what a large organization with 150 school needs, those are all different. Mm-hmm. But their needs are different as far as accounting, but when you think about what that individual director needs to be able to do, it's pretty darn similar. And so it's reporting, it's auditing, it's the capability to get your numbers right. You know, Carol was talking about the hand ledger and posting checks and stuff. And the problem was, as soon as you make a mistake, as soon as you make a math error, then of course the customer wants to, well, let's just keep looking. Well, you know, where else have you made mistakes? Where else have you done this? And you know, the computer doesn't usually make math errors. You might make an entry error, but at least it's going to add up the two numbers and get the right answer.
I think there's something very significant about what he's talking about, because as an operator of childcare, if you can't get my account right, how can you take care of my child? Right. That was what people would say. And so, you know, what ProCare gave to us was a degree of professionalism that otherwise was, okay, yeah, they make math errors. They're humans. And so now you can't take care of my kid. So that's pretty important.
But, you know, you've heard me say this now. You asked about the growth of the company and where it went and how it got to where it went. It really is, listen to your customers. Your customers tell you, and Carol and I have such a history of this. I mean, I can't tell you how many arguments.
That's what I told Ryan that
yeah. the other day. So this is funny, Jeff, because when we were talking to Carol the other day, that's actually my recollection as well, being an employee when I got hired by you in 2001, some of the early meetings sitting in with like Shelly and right. you and the software consultant team. And it was, to me, it felt like arguing. Like, I'm like, wow, this is new to me. I came from kind of a corporate environment. People don't communicate like this. And Jeff and you know, some of that early team would argue or debate, but, and Carol said the same thing. She's like, yeah, Jeff and I would come at things from different perspectives and kind of debate it. And I think that was part of your process to solve problems though, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff. You, like, people would stress test your ideas and you encouraged that.
Of course. I mean, that's what made the product better and better. And Carol, through the years, made the product much better because of the input that they had. I think that's the key, though, to the success. One of the keys to the success of ProCare was listening to what the customer wanted. Now, look, I've had a lot of people ask for different things over the years, and if you can believe it, some of them were pretty silly. You know, some of them were just not possible for the computer to do because it wasn't a computer problem; it was a management problem. But what can you do to make it easier? And then sometimes you can do something on the computer in a way that someone trying to do it on paper has to do it a certain way. I can do it differently on the computer because the computer can just do it so much quicker. And so that's sometimes what some of the argument is. I know, what is it you're trying to achieve, as opposed to how should I make the computer do it?
And one of the biggest arguments, if you remember, Jeff, that we had was over late fees.
Uh-huh.
Automatically posting. Okay, so I had a policy that after 3 days into the date that you're past due, that your payment was due for tuition, you would get a late fee, 10%. And what would happen is that the directors, if they had to post that manually, they would feel sorry. The parent would say, oh, my car broke down. I'm sorry. I couldn't pay you. Then when we finally, Jeff and I saw clearly that this has to happen. In other words, I got my way in that it has
it's happened a lot.
it has to be done automatically at midnight. After that third day, it just posts it. So when we open at 6:30 in the morning on the fourth day, parent comes in to pay. What do you mean I owe 10% more? The computer does it. I'm sorry. The computer does it automatically.
I wouldn't have charged you. It's the computer that did it.
Right. And it worked. I preferred for everybody to pay on time. But I will tell you, Jeff, we got a heck of a lot of revenue in late fees based on the fact that ProCare did it automatically.
Well, and rightly so. I mean, it's because the problem is you're herding cats. And how do you get people to do what they're supposed to do? And that's really what it boils down to.
Carol, yeah, I was going to ask you, for you as an operator during that time, so you're like 2004, you're obviously innovative as an operator because you were early days to technology. Had you started to look at some of those cash flow challenges and receivable challenges and look at electronic payments, or was it all manual still for you at that time?
Well, up until, so we had been using ProCare since 95. When Tuition Express came out, it was a game changer for the collection of tuition because no longer did we have to catch the parents that came through or the ones that would send somebody else and you could never catch them to pay their bill. And some people would pay their bill as they should, but now it takes time for that director to stand at the counter and receive that check, let alone, you know, posting that and everything. Tuition Express was like a miracle. Push a button. Everybody's charged. And then you would get the money into your account like magic. So it was this whole, you know, now we think all the time about auto pay, and you know, you can pay any utility bill or anything that you want that way. But this was very avant-garde, and specifically in the childcare industry. And I remember being at local conferences and talking to people, and they didn't understand how valuable that was, because it all boiled down to not only accuracy, but it boiled down to time and how you spent your time.
Yeah, and how it paid for itself. And Jeff, I know, you know, over the years, ProCare, that's still what we do. I mean, a lot of the things that you guys are talking about, you know, obviously to see it over the years where it's gone, it's still very much the same conversations. When we talk with providers still who are coming to us that are doing everything by hand, all those same challenges that you're describing, Carol, are things that people still struggle with. Like, man, my cash flow is inconsistent. I have all these people who pay me late. I'm paying staff to do things like stand at the door and collect checks and then drive to the bank. And
intercept a parent when they're trying to drop their child off. And you have to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't take your child. They couldn't do it, you know? So it took care of problems that maybe Jeff doesn't even know on the operational level, you know, that became so much smoother because behind the scenes, we were doing it better.
You know,
go ahead.
I talked a little bit about credit cards, and I think what's interesting is like what Carol was just talking about with today, everybody makes their online payments and they're used to doing an ACH transaction or a credit card transaction online. You know, the thing that always drove credit cards wasn't me. It wasn't me saying, oh, I want to take credit cards. I want the child care center to take credit cards. It was always the parents telling the centers they want to pay with a credit card. Because if you look at child care bills compared to home mortgages or car payments, they're right up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the customer, the millennial, they want miles. They want the bonus of paying that bill and getting something else out of it. And that's what drove and dictates to me, why does a child care center want to take a credit card? They want to because the market wants them to. And I always use the analogy of the grocery store. I remember growing up and Safeway didn't take a credit card. You couldn't go to a grocery store and pay with a credit card. You can today. Every single grocery store will take a credit card gladly. And what did they do? They raised their prices by 2%. And they said, we're just going to pay for that credit card fee by having a very small price increase. But I sell more. And that's the bottom line.
I think part of the intersection was that the parents during that time in 2004 onward were a different generation than when I started in 1980, when I opened my first school. And things changed, but so did what the millennials, what they wanted and what they expected. And so the timing, as it is true of any business success, Jeff's timing was perfect. And had he 50 years ago, of course, you know, maybe that wouldn't have worked, or 30 years ago. I had my business for 40 years. So I saw a change, distinct change in the parents. They're the first generation that I had, and then the second generation.
Yeah, that's amazing. And Jeff, I know too, like as you walk down that technology path, I remember being within the four walls of our, you know, offices over the years, you know, the idea of like, wow, so many of our customers are gravitating towards electronic payments. That's becoming a big part of our business, but we're still a software provider. And there was a point where, you know, you started to realize like we're software, but we're also a service provider. And that kind of rolled into like, even in 2004, 2005, everybody's data sat on their hard drive. But one of the other big things I remember was when you got to a spot and realized we have to give customers the ability to live in the cloud. And that was that with version 10? Was that like 2008, 9 that we did that? Was that another big benchmark for you?
It was the realization of getting the data off your local machine. I had those phone calls. Everybody in tech support has had that phone call. when the customer calls up and says, my computer just died and I want to reinstall ProCare. And you say, fine, let me help you. Go down to Costco, buy yourself a computer. Let's reinstall ProCare. Okay, there, ProCare's there. They go, well, where's my data? Well, where's your backup? My what? You know?
Yeah.
I remember this, Jeff. I remember this so clearly. We would take two backups every night. We would put one in the floor safe of the school, and we would make the director or whoever closed the school take it home with them because I was so paranoid that we would lose all that data.
Right.
Did we ever have to restore? I don't think we ever had to. But when it went into the cloud, it was like, I can sleep at night. I'm not worried about a backup being destroyed. So that was amazing.
And that was the thing with having online capabilities was you know, you think about some of the schools that have been flooded, that have had real issues where they lose their computer and they lose their equipment. And that's devastating. But they're able to just get another computer and load ProCare and bada bing, they have all their data. Everything's there. That's quite an advantage. And for someone like Carol, having the ability to be at home and log in and see what's happening at a specific school is fantastic. You instead of having to run out to that school and say, let me see your books, you're able to do everything right there.
It was so funny because I would know things and the director, I'd call and say something and they were like, how did you know that? I can see everything.
real time. Yeah, because prior to that, it was, if I was working from home or Carol, if you were at a conference or working remotely, the only way for you to know what was happening operationally at the centers was to talk to your staff there, because before the cloud, that wasn't possible. And so, you know, now that gave you access. I mean, we all take it for granted now that you can see everything real time. Everybody wants everything on demand real time. But at the time, that was revolutionary to move to a spot where you could. Did you, Jeff, what do you attribute that to for you? You know, in terms of like looking back at the history of ProCare now, you know, I'd be curious, did you think that the industry would sustain a software developer or provider to this extent? I remember in 2001 when I interviewed with you, coming home and telling my wife, like, I mean, it's a cool company. Spent a couple hours with the founder. I remember you walked me through how you burn CDs. You were so excited that you just started burning your own CDs. But I was like, I don't know how long this could last with that vertical market. Did you ever have, or did you not look that far down the path?
Who knew you could make a living selling software to childcare centers?
Right? Right? And it's still happening.
I knew it, Jeff. I knew it.
There you go. Thank you, Carol. I never worried about money. Hmm. Build a better product. Make a better product. Satisfy the customer.
True entrepreneurs never worry about money. They worry about that. They want to do exactly what you said. Just be good at what they do.
Be the best.
Right.
Be the best at it. And then you don't have to, and then you won't worry about it isn't about money. I'd never worried about money.
I love that.
I worried about making a better product and providing a better service.
And you know, that's why it was really fun to work with Jeff, because I would call, as ProCare got bigger, he still would talk to me, you know, and I would call him and say, Jeff, I have this problem. Could it do this? Well, let me think about it. And his mind was so analytical, and he would come back and we would go head to head and argue about it. And I wouldn't always get what I wanted. I really didn't. But sometimes he would say, okay, oh yeah, I can do it this way. And I thought that was fabulous to have that kind of an owner of a large company that cared about what the customer wanted.
Absolutely. Well, and Jeff, I know that I don't want to put words in your mouth, but as the company grew, it became a little harder. Early days down in Houston, if a customer asked for something and they needed it, you could say, oh yeah, I can go build that for you. But once you have hundreds or thousands and everybody's perspective is a little different, you couldn't go address every individual request. So you had to be really good at sizing what's going to help everyone versus just that
this
one.
This is always the challenge in the development department. Okay, you have all these people with ideas, all these people with input, and you truly have to decide, well, which idea has merit? Which idea is something that can be used by more than just a very small handful of people? Because it's a risk reward thing. The risk is you make your program more complicated. That's the risk. If you make your program so complicated that it's become so hard to use, you outpace the user. And now the user can't use your program because you've made it so complicated. So that's what you have to do as the developer. And that's what my job was. You know, I wasn't doing the develop. I wasn't writing the code. Well, I wrote a lot of SQL stuff. But I wasn't writing the code the last couple of years. But you did have to know what direction, what do you say yes to and what do you say no to?
Here was my argument. My argument was, well, Jeff, if I want it, then other people are going to want it. Remember, I used to say that to you.
And sometimes that was true.
Sometimes.
and sometimes we would argue.
Jeff, if you had a nickel for every time you heard that from a customer, we still hear that. Like, I want it. Everybody's going to want it. But it is like true, like weeding through the voices that, you know, like Carol, I think why it was super valuable to have you part of this conversation is there are voices and customers that can articulate a thought and a need in a way that it made sense. And Jeff, I know you leaned on customers like Carol in all your years of developing the product.
Absolutely. Because Carol proved over and over again good ideas. And that's what you want. How do you make your product better? You know, hey, I'm just a chemical engineer. So, you know, my job is to listen to what the customer is saying and say, can I make that happen? Can I make it happen reliably?
And, you know, there's a trust factor because I can almost have, I used to be able to see his wheels turning in his brain. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, you just want this, go away. It was like, let me think about that. And I knew he was truly going to think about that and either come back and say, well, this is how I can do it, or, you know, it isn't going to work. And it's very interesting because, like he said, why customize for every single customer to make it so much more complicated that the thing breaks? So you have to hold steadfast to your path, right? And then you can have little branches off of it that may actually help the whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is the problem with childcare. There isn't, you know, you can't go down to your local Barnes & Noble and buy the childcare management and accounting book. And everybody does it this way. You know, we have to deal with people that want to charge by the hour and charge by the block and charge by the week and charge by the month and have discounts and all of a sudden it's like, holy schmoly, all these different ways of doing it. Well, can you make a program that can do those things and not overcomplicate it for the person who just wants to bill weekly? And that's the challenge.
Yep.
And the answer is yes, you can. You know, and that's what ProCare ended up figuring out how to do. And I want to charge a late charge. I want to do, you know, all those things have to be incorporated into the software. It was always just a puzzle. It was always just, you know, and what I think is so cool, you know, today, I use ProCare every day. You know that, Ryan. I use ProCare in all the work that I do now. And it's really fun for me because I know how it works.
Yeah. You know, behind the scenes. Well, I think it's a great way to, and I know you guys have been gracious with your time, so I want to be respectful of that, but I think how you kind of tied that up, Jeff, around, like, I mean, if I were to summarize a lot of what you described in terms of the ProCare story, it's solving the puzzle for our customers. Like for you, I would just, is there anything maybe as a final question for you? Cause I remember, you know, when you were retiring, and I remember you talking about like the customers and the product and the company were really important. But I also know like you invested a lot in your employees over the year too. So I'm curious for you and Carol, the same question for you, because I think both of you kind of moved into that at least semi-retirement phase of life around the same time. When you look back at, for you, Jeff, ProCare, is there anything that stands out for you, like when you think about the history of it, that you're especially proud of? Like, if you, is there a way to articulate that? Is there anything that stands out, or maybe a story that you remember that, you know, just comes to mind?
Well, you know, it was always the ProCare family. And I felt very strong about that. I recognized early on, you know, we talked a little bit about Shelley. I recognized early on that you have to surround yourself with good people and let them do their job. Let them do what they do. Believe in them, trust them. And, you know, as a small business, I think that's sometimes the failure of a small business is the owner can't let go. They want to do everything because that's how they started. And as ProCare got larger and bigger and more people, it was definitely having the ability to trust in the other people. But you have to give, you have to give them a reason to trust you. And the reason that they trust you is because you trust them. You put faith in them. You allow for mistakes. People make mistakes. How do you correct those mistakes? How do you make it a better product? And that's what it's all about. Whether it be a better product or a better customer experience, you know, what can support do to make a better customer experience? What can accounting do to make a better customer experience? What can development do? It's a team effort. 40% of our sales were coming from word of mouth.
Yep.
And it still is, I would imagine. And that's important. And that happens because your employees are part of that team or part of that group. It isn't just one person. And that's the part with ProCare, with growing. How do you grow? How do you go from having four people, five people, to 10 people, to 40 people, to 400 people? You know,
yeah.
it's a bigger company today than what it was when I left.
It sure is. It keeps growing. And that is like, I mean, Carol, I want to ask you that same question, and I might, you know, share one final thought too. But for you, like when you look back, because you guys, what's interesting to me about having the two of you, Jeff, obviously for you celebrating 30 years, ProCare, the whole story was important to have you here to share this. But I thought it was really cool to have Carol, a customer that goes back to the early days and kind of your business has kind of walked in parallel. Like you benefited from what Jeff did, Carol, and vice versa. What about you as you reflect back on your centers? I know you sold them a few years ago, but anything stand out for you that you're especially proud of?
Well, certainly what Jeff's talking about in developing a family, a culture, and that loyalty from employer to employee, it goes both ways. People, the success of a company or the owner of the company is to surround yourself with successful people. And they become successful because you give them the empowerment through the autonomy, the trust for them to feel like they are making a difference in your company. I know Shelley, which was a person I knew very closely at ProCare. I could call her up. She'd know who I was. And I knew her for many years. I mentioned that when we first went on ProCare, she actually came into my house and stayed with me for 2 days, inputting all the students so that we could get on board. That isn't something that you would otherwise find. In my business, I had people work for me. It was commonplace over 20 years, 30 years, 35 years. Those people were starting out at the bottom, moved their way up, and it became this family, this culture. And it happened by the things that Jeff said, giving the employee the trust, knowing that if they make a mistake, well, you're human, you can just, you know, get past that. And that was the most rewarding thing to me, was not only serving children well, but having this group of adults that worked with me and for me, and that family culture was really important. So we stood out in our care stands out in the childcare community for those kinds of reasons. You know, people stayed, people cared.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it, you know, I mean, I can't think of a better way to kind of tie up the show from, you know, when I hear that, it's like, Jeff, you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, Carol, you're the same, but it's like people looking out for each other, both your employees and your customers. And Jeff, the work you did allowed, you know, Carol and our industry to, you know, care for their communities and provide jobs for families in their communities and great outcomes for kids. And Jeff, I can speak firsthand, you know, that's very much what you did in the ProCare family too. I know you won't share those stories, but I know stories among ProCare employees where you helped them with houses. And I remember you helped me run wiring at a new house that I was building at one point, you know, CEO, owner of a company is over at my house crawling through the rafters. And I remember a time when I had a bad migraine, you dropped everything and drove me home in the middle of the day because my wife wasn't available. And so I think those things that resonates with me. The story of the business is amazing. Obviously, like you both said, it wasn't about the money. It was about serving your communities and solving problems. So I'm excited. I really appreciate both of you joining this. I know we pulled you both out of busy schedules, but I think this story coming directly from you as opposed to third person is going to be really fun for our audience to hear. So appreciate both of you taking the time.
Well, thank you. I was honored to be asked.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Childcare Business Podcast. To get more insights on ways to succeed in your childcare business, make sure to hit subscribe in your podcast app so you never miss an episode. And if you want even more childcare business tips, tricks, and strategies, head over to our resource center at ProCareSoftware.com. Until next time.